Welcome to Amici, news and insight from the New York Judiciary and the Unified Court System. Today we are talking with the Honorable Richard B. Lowe III, Presiding Justice of the Appellate Term First Department and the newly installed Chairman of the Franklin H. Williams Judicial Commission. Justice Lowe, a 1967 graduate of St. John's University Law School, has served as Presiding Justice of the Appellate Term since he was appointed to that position in 2011 by then Chief Administrative Judge Ann Pfau. He began his career as an Assistant District Attorney in Manhattan and also served as Inspector General in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Chief Counsel to the House Ways and Means Subcommittee on Oversight, and Chief Counsel to the House Select Committee on Narcotics Abuse and Control. Judge Lowe was appointed to a New York City Criminal Court judgeship in 1985 by then Mayor Edward Koch, and was elected to Supreme Court in 2003. On December 1, 2015, Judge Lowe was designated Chairman of the Franklin H. Williams Judicial Commission by then Chief Judge Jonathan Lippman, succeeding Justice Rose Sconyers of Buffalo. First of all, what is the Franklin H. Williams Commission?
The Franklin H. Williams Judicial Commission is a part of the New York State Unified Court System. The commission is composed of judges, attorneys, and court administrators, and also outside personnel, appointed, all of whom are appointed by the Chief Judge of the State of New York, to develop strategies to make the court system more responsive to the concerns of people of color. The commission is charged with monitoring the perception of how people of color are treated in the courts, reviewing the representation of people of color in judicial and non-judicial positions, and recommending ways to increase diversity.
Now, that's very interesting. Now, when and how did the commission come into existence?
In 1988, then Chief Judge Saul Wachler formed what was called the New York State Judicial Commission on Minorities and in the courts. And this was done to conduct an in-depth study of the treatment and representation of people of color in the courts. The study resulted in a scathing three-volume report which revealed a severe lack of diversity on the bench, in management positions, and a widespread perception of racial bias in the courts. The study was conducted by Franklin H. Williams.
I see. Now, who was Franklin H. Williams, and what were his original requirements before agreeing to accept this assignment from Judge Wachler?
Franklin H. Williams was an associate of Thurgood Marshall. He was an attorney with Thurgood Marshall at the NAACP. He also was a statesman, and... Saul Wachler commissioned him to conduct this study. He agreed to do it subject to three conditions. One was that he had to have unfettered access to the entire court system. Two, he would hire his own staff to conduct this study. And three, he would finance the study himself, so that there could be no question as to its independence and impartiality.
Judge Wachler has told me that the commission is one of the things he's most proud of in his tenure as chief judge.
Yes, and I believe he has the right to feel that way. Judge Wachler really put this thing on the map and opened up the review of this court system, which was just woefully inadequate with regard to minority and female representation.
Yeah, I think he was interested in this before it became fashionable, so to speak.
Yes, I mean, this is back in 1988.
Now, how long has the commission in its present configuration been in existence?
Well, first of all, you need to know that as a result of this study, Wachler changed the of the commission from the statewide judicial commission on minorities to the Franklin H. Williams Commission on Minorities to honor him. Unfortunately, Franklin Williams passed away before he could really appreciate the results of his labor. So as a result, the commission has been a permanent entity within the courts for the last 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what type of projects has it undertaken during the more recent times, the most recent decade, say?
Well, say the last 10 years, the commission has provided conferences, seminars, and workshops on issues of race, ethnic fairness, and diversity within the courts and the legal community around the state of New York. Some of our more prominent and timely conferences within the last 5 or 6 years has included Race, Law, and the Courts, which was hosted by Donna Brazile as the keynote speaker. Innovative Strategies to Nullify Gang Violence in the Community, which was featured with a panel of district attorneys from around New York City. The Disproportionate Representation of Children of Color in the Courts, which was hosted by our keynote speaker, Marion Wright Edelman. In a seminar series throughout New York State, we have co-hosted a seminar which is entitled Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Becoming a Judge. We do this around the state because we hope to bring diversity to districts where there is a lack of diversity on the bench, namely upstate New York. As a result, we've conducted this seminar in Rochester, Buffalo, Albany, and Syracuse. And this spring and fall, we will be going to Suffolk and Nassau counties in downstate New York. We have featured a seminar on implicit bias for court employees and the public. This is particularly important to us. People are not aware of the concept of implicit bias. Many people believe, you know, they are totally lacking of prejudice and discriminatory feelings. But we have recognized that all of us, black, white, indifferent, possess implicit bias, which we don't know about. And we conduct seminars on implicit bias for court personnel, court employees, and particularly training for administrative and supervisory judges. It's particularly important for people higher up to recognize this concept. And we also present the present this class for new judges at the New York State Judicial Training Course on implicit bias.
It is a fascinating topic, and in fact we made a podcast out of Rachel Godsell's presentation on implicit bias. It's part of our podcast library.
Oh yes, I mean, and she is unbelievable. I have attended seminars with her presentation, and I'm sitting there, and I'm recognizing my faults, or I don't even know if you can describe it as a fault, as much as it is a condition which all of us, you know, are subjected to,
and not necessarily aware of.
Exactly, that's the whole point of implicit bias. We're not aware of it.
Now, as the chairman of the commission, how would you describe your vision for the commission?
Well, as chair, I see the commission as a leader in the court, working to ensure that people of color are represented within the court system, and meeting with decision makers to educate and seek ways to improve cultural and racial sensitivity and diversity. I would like to see the commission take the lead and be at the forefront of topical issues such as implicit bias, the school-to-prison pipeline, which is very important. We have, this is an example of something that that was initially started as a positive, and that is to rid the schools of unruly students so that other students could learn without the difficulties that arise. But what has resulted is things that I did as a kid in school, or perhaps even you, I probably have you by many years, but, you were taken to the principal's office, and perhaps your parents were called. Well, the concept of zero tolerance results in a kid who commits, an infraction in the school. A police officer is called, and that student is taken to the precinct. And we want to peel back the cover of this, because we've also learned that, as is everything else, the students who are taken to the principal's office are generally white, and those taken to the precinct are generally people of students of color. Mm-hmm. So we'd really like to focus on that. In addition, we'd focus on mass incarceration, and also we want to review a bail system that keeps people, particularly in minor crimes, misdemeanors, and low-level criminal acts. People are kept in jail simply because they can't afford to post bail. And when you recognize that the purpose of bail is to ensure the return to court, not as punishment. Punishment comes after the fact. Punishment comes when there's been an adjudication. And too often, many of these people are held in bail simply because they cannot afford the bail that is set.
Of course, Judge Lipman made important strides on that, and I believe Chief Judge DeFiore is also committed to that.
That's correct, and we hope to work with former Chief Judge Lipman on this issue to see how we can assist him in his efforts to come up with a proposal that can uniformly be applied, particularly in the city and throughout the state as well.
Now, I know you're planning a diversity awards program sometime this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. It's important to have a program that recognizes people who have been longstanding in promoting racial and ethnic fairness in the courts and the legal community. Again, I think it's important to recognize those who take time to serve others and to increase opportunities for all. And we hope that by doing so, we encourage others to be vigilant and mindful of diversity and inclusion.
It sounds like a great idea. Now, just to back up again, who are the members of the present commission, and where do they come from?
Currently, there are 23 commission members, and they represent members of the judiciary, including judges from the appellate division, the appellate term, from family court, criminal court. We have an administrative judge and a judge from the United States District Court, a federal judge. We also have attorney members who work for the Office of Court Administration within the courts, and we have attorneys who have volunteered to be a member of this commission who are in private practice. In addition, we have a member of the Court Officers Association. He is a court lieutenant. And the commission members hail from around the state, including New York City, Albany, Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse.
It sounds like a wonderful organization, and thank you for your work and keeping it going.
I have to tell you, I've been a member for quite a while, and I'm humbled irony that I, some 20-some-odd years later, get to chair the commission of the work that he started is quite frankly humbling.
There's a nice symmetry to that. Can you tell us a little bit about Mr. Williams? What was he like? How did he impress you back then?
Well, it's an interesting thing. He was no nonsense, and the irony is that he and Thurgood Marshall. Rubbed heads together, quite frankly. Thurgood had the approach, you can agree or disagree, but his approach was to bring cases to the Supreme Court only that he thought we could win, we, the black community. Franklin Williams was much more aggressive. He wanted, if he saw an injustice, he took that, ran with it, and wanted to take it wherever it could go. There's an interesting book called Devil in the Grove, and it basically is a book about three boys in the South who were arrested and charged with raping a white girl. And Thurgood Marshall and Franklin Williams went to, it was in Florida, and Franklin Williams was the more aggressive, and the authorities in Florida actually sent people out to assassinate him.
My goodness.
Yes, really. It's a fascinating book. This man was, he was a giant. I know that's said about a lot of people. This man was a giant.
And that's a wonderful note to end on. Judge, thanks so much for your for talking to me this morning.
Listen, I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate our efforts to sort of let other people know.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you for listening to this edition of Amici. If you have a suggestion for a topic on Amici, call John Carr at 518-453-8669 or send him a note at jcaher@nycourts.gov. In the meantime, stay tuned.